tremendous fire from the Confederate batteries. Grant and his 12-year-old son watched from the west bank of the river. And as I said last time, the little boy remembered later that the fires lit up the river as if by sunlight, as he put it. A Union officer on board the first ship described the scene. He said the sky above is black, lighted only by sparks from the burning fires. Down on the river, it's a sheet of flame. One of the steamers and a few of the barges have caught fire and are burning up, the men escaping in lifeboats and by swimming to the western shore. It's as if hell itself is loose that night on the Mississippi River. Took 2.5 hours for the Union vessels to make their passage, but they were successful. They lost a transport and a few barges, and then later more vessels ran past, as we have seen. City fell on July 4th. Union naval vessels also participated later in the Red River campaign, which we will talk about in a lecture down the road a little ways. Overall, without the staunch naval support of the United States, seaborne and waterborne forces, the Western War would not have gone nearly as well as it did in 1862 and on down into 1863. Naval support was immensely valuable, both along the Mississippi and along the Tennessee and the Cumberland. So great success for the Union Navy there. There would also be success elsewhere on the high seas, and we will turn to that now, to the topic of Confederate commerce raiders and privateers. The Confederacy was unable to contend with the much stronger Union Navy head-to-head, and so it resorted to a strategy that many weaker naval powers had used in the past, and that is to try to use privateers and commerce raiding as an offensive naval arm to strike at the maritime commerce of your stronger naval opponent. Don't try to engage their navy, try to come at them indirectly. Gideon Welles and other northern naval planners understood early on that the Confederates would try to do this, that the Confederates hoped to disrupt the northern blockade by forcing blockading vessels to shift toward chasing these raiders. The Confederates even hoped to spread terror along the northern coasts if their raiders could be successful enough to scare the port cities of the north. As it turned out, none of that would happen. The United States proved able to deal in the end with the commerce raiders, although the commerce raiders would inflict significant damage on the U.S. merchant marine. Let's look first at how they procured vessels, the Confederacy. The main person in this regard was named James D. Bullock. He was sent to Europe by Secretary of the Navy Stephen Mallory of the Confederacy. Bullock sought to obtain two kinds of ships. The first would end up as commerce raiders. They would be fast, they'd use steam and sail, they would be able to outrun the heavier Union naval vessels, which would outgun them, but they would be heavily armed enough to capture merchantmen and even engage in duels with some of the smaller vessels in the Union Navy. Second type of ship that Bullock tried to get was a new class of ironclad warship, a seagoing ironclad that would be able to challenge the wooden vessels of the blockading fleet, and with luck, break the blockade off the coasts of the South. He hoped to have a small squadron of these kinds of vessels. They wouldn't be like the Virginia or the Tennessee, the ironclad that we saw during the Battle of Mobile Bay, which were vessels designed to work along the coasts or on rivers, deep water rivers. These would be seagoing vessels that Bullock had in mind. In the course of the war, Bullock arranged the purchase of several excellent cruisers, mostly built in British shipyards, but not armed in the British shipyards. We talked a little bit about that when we spoke of the Laird shipyards in England and the vessels they built. He also came close to procuring the first of the ironclad rams. Again, those were being built in the Laird shipyards. We saw how pressure from the United States government forced the British government to step in and take control of those Laird rams, the ironclad rams that were being built. They would have been powerful twin turret ironclad ships that might have given the Union Navy some real trouble. But in the end, the Confederacy didn't get them. As we saw, they went into British service in the end. Near the end of the war, the South did take delivery from Denmark of an ironclad named the Stonewall. It had been built in France, sold to Denmark, and then sold to the Confederates. It arrived in the Confederacy or off the coast of the Confederacy too late to take part in the war.